Blog Talk Radio.
I came up out the darkness, searching for light. I know home is where my heart is, but now nothing seems right. I try to make peace and cut my losses and carry on somehow, but I've come much too far and it's too late to turn back now.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Queen Vi's Reality Talk. I am your host, Queen Vi, alongside my co-host, Mr. Hakim Nuba.
Hey, hey, hey. Peace, Queen. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm here. I'm still trying to figure out how the day going. It ain't over yet. So, but I'm here. I'm excited about the show and ready to have some ratchet convo, so.
I do want to thank everybody for tuning in today. This is part two for our Q&A session. Today is Therapy Thursday, and we are going to be answering some questions that were submitted about sex life and relationships, and all questions are welcome. So if you would like to call in, 929-477-1436. Don't forget to press 1 on your telephone keypad to go live with us. I'm ready whenever you are, Hakim.
Oh, man, where do we begin? Well, let's start with some life, and we'll swing it back around to sex. We have a few more life questions. I tried to get them all out the other day, but we have just a few more left. Where we have a person wants to remain anonymous. They're asking, how soon should we start dating? After a divorce of a long-standing marriage?
I don't think it's necessarily a time limit on it. When you have completely had enough time to yourself and not just getting into a relationship for the habit of used to being with someone and not being able to be alone. But once you had enough time for yourself and you have no, you know, unresolved issues or feelings where, you know, you're going to go back and you're truly ready to move on, then you can start dating. But respect the process, take baby steps, you know, and just make sure you're really ready, and that person is, you and that person are actually looking for the same thing, and just kind of take your time with it. A few dates here and there doesn't hurt. Just don't do it while you're too vulnerable.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. I mean, we have to do things at our own pace and at our own, you know, if you know you've been in a long relationship or a long marriage and it went south and went bad and you're trying to get back out in the game, you should make sure you have given yourself enough time to heal. Now, pertaining to the question, how long, we can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that. My best advice I can give you is when you no longer feel the pain or the urge to be with that person that hurt you, or when you feel comfortable enough to let somebody else in, then maybe you're ready. You know, mm-hmm. But until then, no one will know but you. So I hope that was helpful, and I wish you the best of luck. Okay. All right. And this one was forwarded to me from Rafiq. Okay. Hey, guys. Second time listening to your show. I am a single dad, and I am trying to figure out what do boys go through with puberty these days, because these kids are not like I was when I was young. The hair is growing faster. Muscles are developing faster. It's like everything's accelerated. Please help me deal with the physical and mental changes of these young men.
I have not experienced that yet. I think I'm going to be experiencing it very soon because my son is 12. It's something in the food, in the water, something. I don't know. But it's also, I just think as long as you have that open line of communication, you know, with your son, where he's able and comfortable to come talk to you about any and everything, you might have to research a little bit, talk to another dad and see how they experienced it. That might be the issue with some of these dads aren't hands-on in that department and don't have those conversations. Like, those one of the conversations a young boy is supposed to have with their father. I'm being told not to have that conversation with my son.
Really?
I am being told that, but I am going to have that conversation with him as long as he's comfortable. And if he gets to a point where he's not comfortable, then I am going to direct him to my brother. But it's changing. You got to look at the other influences as well with the growing up. These kids got the social media. They got the other influences and friends, because even though your child might not be exposed to some of the things in your home, that doesn't mean the people that he associate with, whether it's school or neighborhood or other family members, aren't exposed to certain things. So I think this is what makes it completely different, you know, in this day and age, you know, not including them going through all type of emotions and stuff. But I think it has also a lot to do with influences, you know. So, but, yeah, they're going through some things fast. I don't know. I mean,
I mean, it is a change. Yes, there's definitely something in the food. We know that scientifically. Steroids and the hormone shots that are given to these animals we're eating and consuming. Not only that, it's just the evolution of man. You know, our kids our brains are developing different. Our kids are growing faster. My youngest son went through puberty. He started his puberty at 9 years old. And I was like, holy shit, I didn't get enough hair on my damn chin till I turned 19, 20. I think I had one of them Popeye joints where you got two damn hairs that's curled up together. And my oldest son got a whole goddamn, he has to shave his stuff. And he's 20. And I'm like, hey, man, what's going on? You know, but the physical changes, you really can't do much but just have a conversation, try to guide him the best way you can. Tell him to wash his funk ass, that kind of stuff. Because, you know, they start, you know, a 10, 12-year-old smell like a grown-ass man nowadays.
Yeah,
it's your feet smell like damn Doritos and corn chips and shit. So you have to, the mental aspect, you have to be open and have good conversations and try to get them to open up as possible. Don't be too judgmental. Don't be, sometimes you got to know when to be a dad, when not to be a dad. Just be a good listener and guide them. And throw some dadisms in there in between somewhere. As a father of three boys, it's a juggling act. Because when the conversations get a little too goofy or too little weird from mom, they say, go talk to your father. So you have to be able to tap into that part of them that makes them feel comfortable enough to mm-hmm. tell you what's going on in their world. I'm not saying be their best friend. supposed to happen. That's supposed to happen by default or naturally, where he just feels like you're my best friend, mom or dad. But you should be a good listener, and you should be able to listen to their to what they have to say, and formulate a response that is going to help them, not scold them, not make them feel like I can't come talk to your ass no more. So I hope we were helpful with that one, because that's a juggling act. And all of us parents, you know, we all have that at various ages with our kids. All right, here's a good one. This one is from Dawn. Dawn Green out of South Philly. What's up, Dawn? How you been, girl? And Dawn's asking, have you guys ever went through your kids' phones? And at what age should I start doing so? I'm thinking of keeping them safe and protected from the creepy bastards that are out there.
Do I go through my children's phone? Absolutely. What age should I start? The second that they was given the device. I have a thing where I have phone check. When I say phone check, you hand me the phone. Don't scroll. Don't close anything. I'm going to go through and see if you erased anything, bits and pieces of a conversation is missed. I'm going to look at your history browser, because it is my job to make sure, to monitor my child, to make sure my children isn't doing anything they're not supposed to be doing, or anyone else is not influencing them in a way that they shouldn't be. I mean, I think that's the best way. You can let them explore the World Wide Web and everything, but as parents, we have to have that parental control, you know, to know what our children are doing and not doing. And that way, once you see certain things, because just like the last question, if that child isn't comfortable, or that person has a certain type of influence and exposing them to some things, then they may get curious and start searching. And that way, if you are doing phone checks and you are going through things, and my kids can't even have a password on their phone. My thing is, once you go through the phone and you see certain things, that opens the door for certain conversations, so conversations that may need to be had that child didn't necessarily bring to you or feel comfortable for whatever reason. Because just let's be honest, kids don't some kids don't want to disappoint their parents. So it could be something that they're interested in knowing because they was exposed to it from somewhere else, and they're trying to do the research. And that's the worst way for your children to learn about anything, because it's from their peers, people who are learning just like they're learning, that don't even really know. So absolutely, go through your child's phone. The second you give them that device, you give them the rules that goes with that device, and you let them know how it's going to be for them to keep that device.
But for me, I'm with you on that one. The minute I give you to understand that you got all kinds of monitoring shit on there that you just don't even know about, I'm a firm believer in random checks, spot checks, because the minute you don't, you're opening yourself up. Really, you don't. You're opening yourself up to all kinds of nonsense. There are so many things that are influencing our kids today, right? From drugs. Remember back in the day, our biggest thing, stay away from gangs and drugs. Now, stay away from gangs, drugs. That homie you hang out with down there who keep running from the cops and stay away. It's just, you have 10 times more things to worry about now than you have when we were kids. You got to worry about your daughters going to the store because a man in a white van or some creepy person. You got to worry about the stray bullets that are flying through the neighborhood, stick-up kids. These kind of things are the physical that they can run into. Now, when you start talking about the devices, that's a whole nother issue. When you have to make sure they're not on there chatting with some creep. You know, like my son, even down to his Xbox or PlayStation 4 games, when he is having these online chats and I'm sitting there right beside him and I said, well, let me pull up this person's profile. Let me hear the shit. You could be talking Fortnite with a 40-year-old man who's just into luring young boys or young girls, because there are a lot of female gamers out there. So we have to, yes, we have to monitor it. Guess what, y'all? There are, just like we're in freak groups, just like we get invited into these super uber sex groups, they have them on Snapchat. They have them on Twitter. They have them on TikTok. They have them on every single thing that you have access to. So the same way you and they get your freak on and watching people twerk and clapping it up, these little young girls is doing the same thing. And these young boys are pulling their penises out the same way. In 6th, 7th grade, it's happening. So we have to check. I want to see these apps. Like you said, drop the phone, let me check. Now, for me, I stop at 16. For all my little stepdaughters that I've raised and my son, you know, who's 20 now, that's my cutoff. Mm-hmm. I don't check it. You're at 16. If you need some help now, if I have a reason, that's altogether different. If I'm looking on your social media and I see something on me, let me see your phone. Now I got probable cause because I done seen some ratchet shit. But the whole let me just randomly check, no, I don't do that because I give you your space, and assuming that you earned my respect or you earned the right to not get checked up on anymore. Because if you're a repeat offender of stupid shit, I'm going to check your shit till you're 20. If you don't like it, go buy your own. And you pay for the bill. So, and I literally just had this conversation with my youngest. You know, he keep keying it up with all these little girls. I said, let me see this shit. See what you're saying to these girls. Because I don't want nobody's dad running around looking for you. So, but again, y'all, it's kind of, I hate to say it, like it was kind of different for boys than it is for girls. So you want to deal with, you want to deal with women or young ladies one way and deal with the young men a different way. But to each his own, just, it don't hurt to check. I'm a big, just check that shit. Okay. All right. This is from Karu. Karu is saying, hey guys, I heard your show on Tuesday, and I loved all the positive talk about things to do when we're quarantined, but I want to know, what do you suggest for people who are going through tough times and suffer from some form of depression? Is there any quick, easy steps that you can think of?
I wouldn't say quick and easy because it's a process. You have to know what your triggers are. You have to know. First of all, the first thing when you having a moment, you need to take a moment. You know, you got to step back from everything. And I mean, have you tried meditating? Going in a quiet room in a quiet space to get your thoughts together or write. You have to know what your triggers are. Hotlines, like I said, Tuesday. Check for hotlines. There's many of hotlines that deal with mental health. If you have medical insurance, they have the nurses' lines, you know, that you can reach out to as well. But, I mean, knowing the number one thing about depression is knowing that you are not alone. No matter how much you may feel alone in that moment, you're not alone. It's other people going through what you're going through. It's support groups. They're doing some via chat now, video cam, phone conferences. They're making it happen. Where the support is still there. Who wants to be a millionaire? Phone a friend. You know? Use a lifeline. But it's just a matter of knowing what your issue is. And sometimes when you have a conversation with someone, you ever be in a situation you just don't know what you're feeling and why you're feeling that way, and then you start venting to someone, and then it clicks to you and that person what the bottom issue is. Sometimes you just got to vent and let it out so you can know what the issue is. Because you can't deal with the issues unless you know what the issue is. As far as, struggling in this time where it might be financial for people, then you have to understand that this is something beyond your control. It's nothing you did wrong. It's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
And once you understand it's not your fault and it's not anything you did wrong, then you just kindly just take your time and put a plan in place. So when all of this is over and the balls get back rolling, then you can work towards making things right. But that's a lot of issue is worrying about something that's beyond your control. You can't change it. There's nothing that we can do about it. This is happening. It's reality. And we just have to adjust. So.
Yeah. It's, you're right. Phone a friend. Talk to your pastor, your imam, your call one of those hotlines like the Queen said. You'd make sure that you reach out to someone and let them know how you are feeling. Let them know that you feel like you're in trouble, like you don't feel like yourself, and hopefully, they will be able to be there for you. Because there's nothing worse than being depressed or troubled, and you feel like you have no one. We all go through it. I go through it. I have someone I can go to. It's important. Because if you don't and you're feeling like you're alone and you don't have that person to smack you upside the head and say, hey, you're just going to be okay, then you'll start slipping into a deeper, deeper situation. So please find somebody that you can talk to. I like to do things in sets of threes, three sets of threes, three things you want to change, three things that you are grateful for that you got going on now, and three things you want to do for yourself. It's sort of a misdirection game you play with the mind and the emotions. And what happens is you're releasing new chemicals of creativity in your brain, and it'll alleviate the stress. And not only that, check your diet. Stay away from coffee. I can't believe I just said that. I'm going to have to edit this out for the podcast. Stay away from caffeine. Let's say that. Caffeine and stress and caffeine and anxiety, it's something. And I am not practicing what I am preaching. I will openly admit that, because I'm probably at the end of this show, I'm going to dive into a tub of coffee, no cream, no sugar. Okay. And it will come back to you. So watch your diet, watch the food you're putting in your body. Try to work out. If you're not a workout person, just walk. There's things you can do to improve your mood. When you improve your mood, you improve your focus, you improve your mind situation, your mind state. And most of all, be mindful. Being mindful is staying in the right now. You got all your fingers on your toes, hopefully. You're breathing. You have family. You have people in your life. You have a house. You have all the things that you need to be who you are right now, because most of the times we're about shit that already happened to us, or things we think are going to happen to us, or we're worrying about things we ain't got. So three things you want to change, three things that you're grateful for, and three things that you want. And you'll have nine different things to change your mind. So, all right, we are at the 35-minute mark. Okay, so let's take a deep breath. And let's now prepare to be ratchet. This is the part where y'all, the fuffing and the cussing begins. I have to do that because I'm trying to make my job a little easy so when I do edits for the YouTube channel, it's all not just running into each other. So this is the part where we start cussing people out and telling people they dumb shit. So let's begin. This is from Throw Me Away After This Bullshit. that is how they identify themselves. So I guess they don't want the world to know who they are. And he says, Sunday night, my wife was got drunk and confessed something to me.
Mm-hmm.
She says how she got drunk at a bachelorette party and sucked off a male stripper. You know, like the one, like the Facebook video that's going around? Yeah, she did some shit like that. Should I leave or should I stay? Please give me some advice.
Can you forgive it? Can you truly, honestly forgive it? Forgive it means not bringing it up, not stressing about it, worrying about it, holding against her, et cetera, et cetera. If you can truly, because clearly it's bothering you, and clearly, has she not had one too many drinks, you would not know. Can you trust her after that? You sure as hell can't trust her friend she was with. But that's what you need to realize. If you can trust her, forgive her, and it's not going to be any issues, you're not going to bring it back up, she's not going to have to keep living that mistake over and over again, then, and you want to stay with her and you love her, stay with her. If you can't, maybe it's some time for some counseling. So I'm not going to say, since it's a marriage, I'm not going to just say, oh, just leave, you know? I mean, maybe some counseling you can do, some conversation. But what you should not do is live and be into something where you have to worry and wonder every day. You know, and if she wants forgiveness, she has to understand that it's some things she has to do to reassure you, you know, or build that trust again, even though I don't think it will ever be 100%, you know, what it was. Once you lose trust with somebody, it's not going to always never go back to the way it was. But this is all just based on you and what you're capable of. You know, you don't want to resent anybody and be walking around, you know, secretly hating your wife because you chose to stay. But I mean, you might want to get drunk some more. Maybe some more stuff will come out. I don't know. Hey, but I'm going to just pass it over to you, Martin. We know what you want to say. I'm just getting my popcorn.
I want you, sir, to get your monk ass up. Go to Home Depot tomorrow morning. And I want you to get the biggest boxes of damn, get the garden trash, but get the contractor bags, the kind that you put cement blocks in, the big old trash bags we can hide bodies in. Go get a whole bunch of them motherfuckers, as many as they can let you fill in the shopping cart, right? You go home, and as she's looking at you, pack her shit. And if she talk too much shit, throw in the bag with the shit.
I wonder how long
you open up you open up that goddamn door. And you toss her and that bullshit out with you, and you call a good lawyer, and you get rid of that trash. She's a pile of shit.
Mm.
Okay?
No, strippers.
Women beat on us about strippers, about cheating and everything. See, this is a unique situation. Right? I don't trust men when they out with their boys. Men ain't shit. Men are dogs. That's all I heard my entire life. So when a woman decides to be a female rough, you put your foot in it, stomp a mud hole in it, and walk it goddamn dry. Pack her shit, get her confession drunk ass the fuck out your life and out your goddamn house. Because guess what? She didn't confess to you when it happened. She didn't confess to you sober. She had to get pissy blissy to tell you the truth. So if she didn't get drunk, would you still know? What she would have told you? Fuck her. Now, you can go ahead and take her back and use a goddamn goofy motherfucker. You're opening yourself up for a repeat. There ain't no excuse for cheating. Fuck her. And that's all I got to say about that.
Dirty Diana.
Oh, my God. Oh, nasty strip of dick in the mouth. You kissing on her.
Sprite came home that same night. Oh, in your face.
All right, let me get a disclaimer. Somebody's checking me. I am not insinuating you should kill your wife or your spouse. All I'm saying is pack her shit. I'm not saying bring any physical harm to her, but you can pack her shit and you can ask her to leave politely, or you call the cops, or however the fuck you do it. Wait for her to go to work and she come home to an empty goddamn house. It don't matter, but you need to ditch the bitch. Because if you sitting there fucking stripper dick, then you's the lowest of the fucking low. You a goddamn toe jam fungus.
Okay? You don't know what else you need to know.
Exactly. I'm not saying do anything to her, don't harm her, because that's going to work against you. You need things to work for you. You're readjusting your life. You're getting rid of that filthy pile of dog shit out of your life. Because if you were sitting there eating some stripper cooch, you'd be all kinds of goddamn names. You'd be all kinds of no good motherfuckers. Her girlfriends, they all be unfriending you and talking shit, posting your pics, all that shit. You'd be going through hell right now, sir.
Mm-hmm.
So on behalf of all us good men who ain't cheating and shit, stand up. Torture her. Mentally. Not physically. I ain't saying put jumping cape and store nipples or nothing, but let her know she's a piece of shit. Heal yourself. And if you want to take the cheating slut back, then that's on you. Okay? But I have no sympathy. I have no forgiveness for people who put their mouths on strange, sweaty-ass men. Fuck her. All right. I have an anonymous question. We're going to dial it back and get back into a more serious tone real quick. I have an anonymous question.
Okay.
The question, what do you feel is a good age to start birth control for your daughters? I've been getting slack for starting in my 16-year-old. This is anonymous. So I'm terrible at reading today. Work with me. So she started her 16-year-old on birth control pill, and she's getting slack for it. What do you think, Queen?
You ain't doing nothing wrong the minute that you know your child is sexually active, because if she's going to go out there and do it, she's going to go out there and do it. And if one of the things you want to prevent is pregnancy, you need to take an initiative to do it. Also, educate her on it. So it's not all just about pregnancy when it comes to being sexually active. Let her know all that she's opening the door for. And I'm not just talking about pregnancy and STDs. I'm talking about to emotions, feelings, heartbreaks, and everything else. You're not doing anything wrong. You are taking initiative. I mean, everybody is different with what they feel on birth control. Some people might feel like, oh, you putting her on birth control, that's opening the door, telling her it's okay to have sex. And that might not, and that's not the way I see it. Because like I said, she's going to sneak out there and do it. You know, and then that's going to be a whole nother issue. If she, you know, get herself into something she can't get out of. And so, I don't see anything wrong with it. As long as she's educating on it, she understands what's coming along with it. Because just look at it like this. You put her on the birth, because she didn't say that, whether she was or wasn't. But if she's out there having sex, then she should know the importance of using birth control and also condoms, since she's not practicing abstinence, which would be the better choice. But you got to look at it realistically. Would you rather your child come home with a baby or STD or something that she can't cure? You know? Because you knew about it and you didn't do anything about it? I'm just saying, and I know you about to come in here ape shit like a big mean dad. But okay, go ahead. I'm finished.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. If I had my way, her first period should be on goddamn birth control. I don't fuck around. If I had my way, young girls at the minute they have they start developing, AB walking around with the metal ass chastity belts, the crazy the creepy people wear with the goddamn padlock and shit. Well, I got the goddamn key around my neck. You would, there would be nobody fucking until they got them 1920. No, no, not even prom sex. Yes, you did the right goddamn thing. Now let's address the people who got something to say. Okay.
Proactive.
By the way, she says thank you, Queen.
No problem.
The people who have something to say. Now imagine this bullshit. You sit there with your legs up in the air, you push a baby out. And another motherfucker going to tell you when you should decide to make sure that they ain't pushing a goddamn baby out at 16.
Mm-hmm.
Like they
they can live in denial if they want.
Yeah, so the good news is you are aware of what's going on with her sexually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you have built a rapport and you're having conversations, you're letting her know, listen, whether you are a virgin or not, you're going to be protected in this particular way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And nobody can or should be trying to tell you any differently. That is your child that you're raising. So,
maybe they need some advice from you.
I would not be friendly or kind to the things I would say to them. So, but I'm going to watch what I say in this particular instance. But no, you did the right thing. Go, mom. More moms should be more proactive, like you. So, all right. Now, okay. 1, 2, 3. Back to the fuckery. All right. This one is coming from Teresa over in Harrisburg. Wow. I think this is our first Harrisburg person. And Teresa is saying, my boyfriend suddenly left me. I came home to all his shit going, unsure of what to do from here. Mind you guys, we just had sex. Everything was great. I made him breakfast. He kissed me goodbye. I went to work. I come home after a 16-hour shift, and everything of his is gone. What should I do?
I mean, what's changing? Clearly, everything wasn't okay. So it's some type of disconnect in the communication. Maybe he have expressed some issues to you. That went unresolved. Now, what I think he could have did was, said something. I mean, maybe he left while he was at work to avoid conflict. But at the end of the day, he should have been able to let you know something. Because the worst thing you can do, I don't know if you're an overthinker or not, is, do something with no explanation for an overthinker. Maybe you guys can have a conversation. You can't force them to come back. Someone that does that, I don't know if you should even want him back, because I wouldn't. There's kind of nothing you can do. You can reach out and try to get closure or to get an explanation, but you can't force him to do either. But, going to have to focus on you and keep it pushing. And be able to get over the situation, which it might not be that easy, but that was wrong on so many levels. But I think a conversation should be had. But then you got to think about it like this: he might not be man enough to give you that conversation, or even ready to give you that conversation for whatever reason. I don't know what issues it was in the relationship. Because if you guys were living together and everything like that, it was serious. And so maybe he need time. Maybe he need a moment. Reach out. But all you can do is sit in the aisle.
Well, you sure was in a good mood today, boy, I tell you.
What?
Maybe he needed a moment.
I'm just saying. I don't know. See, you know what? I don't know what issues it was in a relationship. Because sometimes people make the mistake of thinking that if it's not a big deal to them, it's not a big deal to somebody else, or it shouldn't be. And sometimes a person in a relationship has an issue, and they may have expressed that issue and it went on with nothing being done about it, or either just because that person felt like, oh, they're over-exaggerating, they shouldn't feel that way, they just, you know, dismissed it. And if a person can leave for many reasons, they could feel unloved, they can feel, you know, uncared about, like anything, disrespected. There's so many reasons why somebody can, you know, decide to leave. And if he left while you were at work, I mean, this was a planned thing. And also, he probably was trying to avoid conflict. Do you pop off the handle? You be going upside his head? Like, I mean, or maybe he couldn't deal with the effects of it, you know, with the, you know, the crying, the tears, the emotions, because maybe if he seen you while he was leaving, he, you know, he wouldn't have been able to go along with it. But I'm just saying, Hakim. It's not enough facts in there for me to dive in there. Now, if he was like,
yeah, so you're right, you're right. I'm going to try to hit this from a couple of angles. I mean, one, we don't know why he left. So you're asking, what should you do? Number one, you should be starting the healing process. Your mind isn't going to let you. It's going to try to stop you from healing because it has too many questions. You can't heal when you start asking why, can you? You ever try to heal over a broken heart and you're still asking why? Good luck. So the queen is right. You're going to need closure. But guess what? If you can't find his ass, you might not get it. So you need to figure out some other kind of way. Again, you might have to join that other motherfucker and start calling a grief counselor or some, getting some goddamn help, because you're going to go goddamn crazy, because that is some serious traumatic shit. You come home after a 16-hour work shift. You're a goddamn nurse. You're out here busting your ass, saving people's lives. You come home, and all his shit is gone. That's not only your mate. That is also your partner in the bills. That is also your partner in other things in life. All that's gone without any explanation. So you should really sit down after you get yourself together, call someone and talk to someone and get some help. Because that's what I would do. I would not try to handle something that traumatic alone. Some people can, but some people can't. And seeing that this, you're at a high-stress job, you're afraid for your health, you're afraid for your life, and you're afraid for everybody else you care about, and you have to come home and deal with this shit. Now, with that being said, I will pass the mic to Pastor Hakim, who will preach the sermon of how to kick this motherfucker in the nuts if he ever pop up with some lame-ass excuse. Because if he says anything other than Mexican or Colombian drug lords broken here and abducted me and held me away from you and took all my shit and made it look like I just left you, I want you to find your pointiest heel and commence to stomp his nuts in. There is no forgiveness unless there was a legitimate reason. And unless someone's family, unless his family was abducted or he was abducted, there ain't no excuse to not say, hey, I'm moving out. There is nothing you can tell me to justify you running out on me. So if he does turn up and he has not been abducted by aliens or drug lords or some fucking body who's trying to kill his ass, if he ain't dead in a hole somewhere, then I need you to dip his goddamn balls in tar, put glitter on them, chop them off, and hang them on a goddamn Christmas tree on December. Fuck him, and you move on with your life.
Goddamn. Not the ball.
Yeah, you cut his goddamn ball. You don't let nobody do no shit like that to you without no good goddamn excuse. You know what? There are people out here dying in the goddamn world. The whole world ain't, people ain't working. People ain't doing this. And you go, you busting your ass, and you come home, and this motherfucker going? and you find out, oh, I wasn't happy, or I went back to my ex, or whatever the bullshit motherfuckers come up with. No, man. Stop giving people the okay to hurt you. Now, of course, I don't expect you to dip his balls in tar and covered in glitter and hanging up on a Christmas tree, but I expect you to give him the biggest fuck you, thank you, bye of all times. It's okay. Fuck you, thank you, goodbye. That's my new shit for the rest of 2020. So when you find out what happened, be prepared. Because 9 times out of 10, it was a pussy move. There's a lot of men who are running around. There's a lot of men who will become manginas.
And don't don't go wrecking your brain trying to figure it out.
And
if he does, by some miracle, give you an explanation, take it at face value, because it might not even be the truth.
Now, let me say this.
Go ahead.
Let me say this. I know you. But if you have been out there, what's that shit on Monopoly, community chess? if you've been cracking community chess with a motherfucker pass go for 200, that's your ass. You deserve whatever the fuck he did to you. Now, if you've been out there running around being on some slick shit and he found out and he packed his shit and he rolled, I would consider that a blessing. I would say, because deep down inside, you know if you've been loyal or not. If you have not been loyal, you should assume that he found out. Some kind of way. Secrets don't stay secrets forever.
What goes on in the dark?
You, I don't know if your ass is down there at a bachelorette party with strippers, but guess what? If you did, and he found out, and he packed his shit, and he rolled out, God bless him, because he's a whole lot nicer than I am. Okay. All right. And this one is, this person wants to be known as Bad Choices. They don't want their name said. Okay, Bad Choices.
Okay.
Let's call me Bad Choices.
Hey, you said it, not us.
I have a guy who's been hitting me up on Instagram and on Facebook and on my Twitter page telling me how sexy I look and how big my butt is and how he love to eat my ass and love to eat my pussy. So I said, that's all you want to do? And he says, yes. So I got him to pay for an Airbnb. I did it, and I bounced. Now he's calling me every bitch that he could think of. He's leaving me messages, and he's threatening me because I wouldn't let him smash. He asked to eat pussy and ass, so I let him do it for 2 hours, and I bounced. Am I wrong?
Part of me saying you gave him what he asked for, but a part of me is when y'all was beating up, did he think it was going to be more? Or is he not mad because it's not more? He mad because you got up and left. Like, what is the exact reason that he's mad? But what he needs to realize is when he's jumping in your inbox telling you he want to eat your ass and stuff, who else inbox he's jumping in saying that? So you're absolutely right not to take his ass serious, you know, because he just randomly jumping in inbox's ass and eat ass. But I... Girl, I'm with you on that. You ain't wrong. I'm not even. You ain't wrong. He left you. You gave him what he asked for, and that's it. You can't take him serious. Who other inbox? How many other times did he just, somebody said yeah, and he just rented something and just ran with it? Just out here just putting his tweets everywhere. You ain't wrong, girl.
Nah, you ain't wrong at all. Mother gonna say, hey, I want to just eat your ass and eat your pussy. That's all I want. That's all you want? Yeah, that's all I want. Then you gave him what he wanted. His receipt is all over his beard. Ain't nobody saying about getting your little wee-wee wet, sir. We talking about, some goddamn cooch in the chin and some ass in the nose. Ain't nobody say nothing about fucking. If that's what he's mad about, I'm assuming, because you didn't say, but... I don't feel bad as far as the disrespect. You block and you delete and block on everything. You don't have to subject yourself to that. The only thing I see that you did wrong was call yourself bad choices, and then you made a bad choice by picking a dude who can't apparently keep his emotions together. And it goes back to the last thing. There are a lot of manginas out here. Okay? There's a lot of dudes who have the goddamn emotional stability of a 13-year-old girl in high school, ninth graders. They can't handle not getting their way. So the first thing they do is call you all kinds of names and disrespectful. Not all, but some. And my issue is there are too many. So the next dude face you sit in, make sure it's somebody that you vetted properly. You know? Because the other thing is, probably tastes good and he lost his mind and wanted to beat. It happens. So, you know, you got to be careful because you wouldn't got Airbnb and he just spent money and shit, and he got to eat. And he ate pussy for ass and pussy for 2 hours straight, huh? Damn, that's what you niggas out here doing? Okay, I'm with you. All right, do your thing. All right, moving right along. Okay. All right, this one is this one. It's from Melissa. Shout out to Melissa, new member of NAF. It says she blames our monthly Q&A sessions and our slutty confession episodes on the developments of her quarantine. So during our last slutty confessions, she heard some of the stories, and she was locked in with her roommate, and they were sipping and drinking and listening to the playback, and next thing you know, her roommate's face is in between her legs. So it is our fault that she is now a bisexual pussy-eating machine, her words. And she says she would like to say thank you, and what is next for our future shows regarding sex, fetishes, and lifestyle stuff?
We'll be doing that next month. We our job is to do, well, first of all, you're welcome and congratulations. Now, to answer your question, we cater to you guys. So when you guys say, you know, you want a show about something, then we make a way to make it happen. You know, this show is just not only about what we want to talk about, is what you guys want to talk about as well. So we're all open to suggestions. When you need your slutty confession itch, and you need a scratch, then, you know, reach out. We got you.
Congratulations. I don't know what else to say. Look, you tell us. We're always open to suggestions. You know, we're always sitting back between the two of us going, what the hell are we going to talk about next? Because we've covered everything that you could think of, lifestyles, fetishes, politics, music. We are always open to ideas. So if there's a specific fetish you want us to cover, we'll look it over. Just, you know, let us know. And congratulations on your coochie eating. I'm proud of you. What the commercial say? We eat what we like.
That's right. And tell old girl, she welcome.
Right. Okay. Now, let's talk some religion. This person wants to remain anonymous, and she is saying that she recently had asked her boyfriend for a threesome with a person he knows. They're not very friendly, but he knows of the person. The boyfriend made it happen. Now, mind you, this is like an 18 paragraph, so I'm trying to sum it all up. Their boyfriend made it happen. She enjoyed it tremendously when they were in a threesome, but it got to the point where the third wheel that was brought in had more stamina, more size, and a better stroke than her boyfriend. And her boyfriend fell asleep, and they went at it all night. a boyfriend woke up, he's upset, and he feels like she cheated on him. What can we do to help her in her argument of how she did not cheat? So she wants your suggestion, Queen.
Recall, you did not cheat.
No, time out. Mind you, she wants your suggestion. She said she don't want to hear shit from me.
Okay. Thank you, because she probably know what anyway, he probably be hard on her. But no, I mean, he invited the person in, and that's one of the things that a person risks when they invite somebody else into the bedroom. They invite, you know, with the chances that other persons are going to be bigger, better. If it's a female, hers is going to be juicy or whatever it is. Her skills is going to be a little bit better. That's the chance that somebody takes. Now, who in the hell falls asleep when your shorty is with another dude? I mean, you just didn't. I mean, that session was not over. So when he fell asleep, he fell asleep. The night wasn't over. But no, I think that he opened the door for something that he wasn't truly ready for. And I mean, and that's one of the chances you take when you do it. I mean, you can let him know, I'm sorry you feel that way. You know, I'm sorry you feel that way. But I mean, what's done is done. I don't see that you did anything wrong. I'm probably going to catch a lot of backlash for this, but y'all know I don't care. I don't think you did anything wrong. Y'all made me need to have a conversation. Maybe it should have been, if that's what he wanted to be, that rule should have been put in place. Okay, you know, baby, if a fall asleep session over. Like, but who expects somebody to fall asleep in the middle of a session? Little angry bird. I'm just saying. I mean, it never happens again, which it probably won't. You know, have a conversation and have some rules put in place. That was something beyond. I mean, nobody could ever guess that, Hakim. Who guesses that? Who comes up with that rule? Now, if I fall asleep, you got to stop.
Only a soft-ass nigga.
You know, who thinks that's going to happen? It was a night that was a mutual decision. And when you make a decision like that, you just got to, whatever comes along with it, you gotta go with it. Because, I mean, the door was open. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. You're not still thinking about this person, are you? Because I know you noticed, mm-hmm. like, you know, you noticed it was bigger, the stamina. Now, you will be wrong if you continue to sleep with this person, you know, outside of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You will be wrong. But as of for what happened that night, you can't, you saw, you conquered, sweetie.
Mm. Well, I think we got enough room. I'm not even going to touch. You don't want my opinion. I'm not going to give it. So, okay. All right, we got enough time to squeeze one more. We got about a minute in real quick, Queen.
Okay.
This is from Trouble Kitten. And Trouble Kitten mm-hmm. says, I've been a cheating bitch. I got cum in my panties. How do I wash them out without my husband finding out?
What?
She got cum in her panties.
Out? Come in the house and shower and change. I don't get that.
She's trying to find out how to wash come out of panties.
A washing machine? Soap and water?
Is there something about cum that don't come out in the wash? Is there
I didn't know that.
Technique?
That's
I didn't
to
know
me.
Either. Like, what the fuck you asked? See, this is why you should have swallowed, honey. It wouldn't be in your panties. You just would have swallowed. All right, Queen, kick us out.
That concludes our show for today. I hope you guys enjoy. We appreciate all our listeners out there from all over. Keep those questions coming. Keep those comments coming. If you want to be a guest, you're welcome. Just reach out. RobPearson1982@gmail.com. Make sure you're following our social media pages. Any last words before we head out?
Wash them panties, y'all.
Until next time, good night, everybody.
Cummy ass panties.